Yes, sir. What is going on, y'all? Happy 2020, and thank you for joining me on the Coach Crew podcast today for another Friday discussion. And we are kicking off this new year with a fantastic conversation because my brother, Mr. Logan Hiddle, is joining us today to talk about his experience and his process of walking on to the Ohio State Buckeye football team. And this story is incredible. I think it's going to be able to relate to a lot of people out there, not because of the football aspect or the walk-on aspect or anything like that, but I think it's a phenomenal metaphor for life and just about anything that we're going through today or will go through or have gone through in regards to the trials and tribulations, the ups and the downs, the things that he has learned along the way, some very relatable and some very practical advice that he is going to share. And I think coupling that with the story behind it is going to mean a lot to a lot of people, and you're going to appreciate this process a little bit more, and most assuredly him as a result of hearing those things. So I'm really excited for this one. Got a chance to coach him last year at Ohio State too, so I got a little personal and emotional connection to the story as well. So I am geeked up, and we're going to get this thing going after a quick word from our sponsor. So lock in, take some notes, and let's get it. What's up, Coach Group listeners? I want to share with you about our awesome friends over at Nemus Rush Wealth Management of Raymond James & Associates. Their team takes a long-term approach to financial planning and investment management, carefully coordinating all the pieces, both professional and personal, that are central to your ultimate financial success. They handle the business of managing your wealth, leaving you free to enjoy the business of living it. Call the team, located in Novi, Michigan, to speak with a financial advisor at 248-449-5436. Raymond James & Associates is a member of the New York Stock Exchange and SIPC. Again, the number is 248-449-5436. Call today and tell them Coach Coop sent you. Make it a great one, y'all. All right, y'all, it is time to kick this conversation off, and this is one that I've been looking forward to for quite some time now. Once I kind of started this podcast last year, this is a guy that I always had in mind to get on here once his playing days were up. And I don't want to hype up the conversation too much, but I think we kind of have a present day Rudy story on our hands, not in the same light of kind of how that all transpired, but in his own way. And we're going to highlight his story and everything that kind of went on with him throughout that process. And I had the opportunity to coach this guy last year at Ohio State. And again, he's going to get into his story and how that whole thing transpired with him. But I'm really geeked up for this one. So without further ado, it is my pleasure, my honor, my privilege to welcome my brother, Mr. Logan Hiddle, to the conversation today. Logan, welcome to the Coach Crew podcast, brother. And I greatly appreciate you taking the time. I've been looking forward to this thing. So let's get it going, dude.
Yeah, thanks, man. I appreciate it. Like I said, I've been looking forward to it as well, and I'm excited to catch up with you, my guy.
Fantastic. Fantastic. Well, Logan, let's start here. If you wouldn't mind kind of providing a little background to who you are, what you got going on, where you're from, what you kind of had going on in your life the past couple of years, and what you got going on currently, just to get some foundation to the conversation. I think that would be an awesome place to start, dude.
Yeah, man. So I'm from Zanesville, Ohio. About 45 minutes east of Columbus, so grew up an Ohio native. I have an older sister. She's in barber school, actually, so that's what she's got going on. Mom and dad live in Zanesville as well. Mom's an IT director at the city of Zanesville. Father is facilities director at Zanesville City Schools. So went to Tri-Valley High School, played football and basketball all 4 years. Two-year captain at both. I obviously was a big football guy. Loved basketball, though, kind of like an Aaron Kraft type, not an offensive guy. Obviously, you could probably tell that by looking at me. Big, gritty defensive guy. Enjoyed it, though, man. Had a lot of good friends and really good time in my high school days. Graduated high school. Went to Ohio State. I wanted to be a Buckeye, obviously, all throughout my life, growing up 45 minutes from campus. Started out as a mechanical engineering major, not even sure if you knew that one.
I did not know
but,
that.
But quickly realized that was not for me. Also, as you could probably tell from being around me, the 18 credit hours and the lifestyle that I kind of wanted to have in college, mechanical engineering was not going to cut it. So I switched to sport industry more down my path, a minor in business. Actually graduated early, just graduated 3 weeks ago.
Yep.
So that's been very bittersweet for me. My friends haven't went back to class yet, but I'm assuming when they do, that's when it'll hit me that I'm done. So
for sure.
dreading that in the next week.
Gotcha.
But then, yeah, I walked on to the football team and I'm sure that'll kind of, that story will be told here in a few. So, I applied for a few GA spots here. I have a full-time intern opportunity, I think, that's going to open up in February here at Ohio State. I applied for a GA spot in student athlete development at the University of Missouri, and also the same spot at the University of Florida. So kind of going through those processes right now.
Great.
So not really sure where I'm going to end up. That's kind of, I want to work in player development at a Division I college football level, and kind of what I want to do. So that's gotcha. A little bit about me and
yep.
My background.
No, that's perfect, dude. And that's a phenomenal foundation to this thing. And where I want to start with Logan real quick is head back to high school a little bit. You said Tri-Valley High School, Northeast Ohio, actually the same spot as my college head football coach, Coach D'Antonio, Northeast Ohio, tough spot up there. A lot of great football was played in that region. And you mentioned playing football and basketball in high school there, played all 4 years. Awesome. So coming out of high school, was football still a thing that you wanted to try to accomplish, or was just going to Ohio State the bigger goal in mind, or what was kind of your thought process in terms of attacking the route of just going to Ohio State instead of maybe searching to play ball right out of high school?
Yeah, great question. So I had a lot of we had a lot of little schools come in, and where we're from, it's not like you don't have a lot of guys go play big time football.
Gotcha.
So for me, it was kind of like if I wasn't going to play at a high level, I had great high school playing days, and like I said, I had great relationships and a lot of good times. So I kind of was one of those guys. It was like, if it's not going to be big time, then I'm just going to leave it. I'm going to end it how it ended. I mean, I went off on a good note, and it was kind of like, I didn't want to go put all the time in at like a D2 level.
Gotcha.
I don't know. That just, it wasn't for me. I didn't think, and I kind of wanted to focus on my college experience, and I knew going to Ohio State was going to be a tall task. And
right.
Like you said, I don't know. I was more interested and involved in the college experience. And honest to God, I didn't know if I was good enough to play at the next level.
Gotcha.
To me, it was, like I said, I was more about the college experience and just about, like I said, moving on to that next level and kind of leaving football in the past.
For sure. I gotcha. So, okay, fantastic. You decide to go to Ohio State. You're now a Buckeye, lifelong dream, big time stuff there. And you're doing your thing in college. You're living life. You're doing that whole experience. Great. And then you get a job at the Woody Hayes Athletic Facility. And the Woody Hayes Facility, to everyone else out there, is essentially the football building on campus. So I guess my next question, Logan, would be, how did you get that job in that facility? Was it random? Did you specifically apply for that? Is that something you're trying to do? How did you kind of get your foot in the door with that job at that specific facility?
Yeah, so this is where it all takes off. So
there we go.
We have a career website kind of for students called Handshake. So I'm on there one day, and this job pops up, says maintenance worker, and I'm like, all right, well, I need a part time job, man. A guy paying for school. Got a little bit of money saved up, but not enough to pay the tuition here. So I'm like, I gotta find something. So this job pops up, this football facility, and I'm like, you know what? It's a maintenance worker, but I'm now a sport industry major, and immediately my mindset goes to, if I can get into this facility and do any type of work, that's gonna be a networking path for me. So I just shot an application in, and funny story, they call me in for an interview. So I go in, I dress up, I'm in a shirt and tie. I walk into the atrium of the Woody, and this guy meets me out there, and he's kind of like, "Wow, man, you're really dressed up for the occasion." And I was like, I'm thinking like, man, this is a job interview, right? And
no doubt.
He basically tells me, he's like, "You know what? Like, not many people want this job. Like, you're going to do a lot of things that people don't want to do. You're going to be scrubbing toilets. You're going to be taking out the trash." He's like, "So really, there's no really interview. Like, if you want it, you can have it." And I was like, "All right, well, that was easy. Like, I'll take it." So, to me, it was always bigger than the work itself. Right. Obviously, kind of like a blue collar family. I've always been taught like to work hard and for what you want, no matter where you start, you got to start somewhere. So for me, in my sport career, starting as a maintenance worker was kind of like a pride thing for me to get my foot in the door and meet people. So, I just found it online and kind of just jumped right in and it kind of took off from there.
That hypes me up. That's incredible. And I don't think a lot of people would have the wherewithal or the mindset to go in and do something like that from a networking perspective, not a work experience. You could do whatever the hell, but I can completely understand that mindset and that perspective. And that's absolutely incredible. So I guess when you went into that situation, Logan, and I never really asked you this before, was trying out for the team something that you kind of had in mind when you first started? Was it something that kind of formulated over time, being around the building more? Like, what kind of went into that process behind the actual trying out and making the decision to make that leap and actually go for it? But what was that kind of like for you?
Honestly, I have to say, like, my parents were big advocates for me trying out. They were always, obviously, they're the people that see more in you sometimes than you do, and they were always on me about, you know, just give it a shot. And honest to God, it never really like crossed my mind. I mean, being a guy around football, you've been around a lot of football. Like, I mean, Ohio State's it, man. Like, big time athletes, like these guys. I mean, this is the top of the food chain. So for me to even consider it, I was like, you know, the little time that I did spend thinking about it, it was just never really a reality for me.
Gotcha.
And like I said, my parents were kind of, they would bring it up every now and then, like, why don't you just try it? And so I don't know if you want me to go into that story yet of how it all kind of came about. But I kind of, my first day on the job, so the recruiting coordinator, I'm taking out trash.
Yep.
And I'm talking to people. You know me, man, I'm a people person. I want to build relationships.
Hell yeah.
So here I am. I'm chopping it up with everybody. Every room I go into, it's my first day. I want to be somebody that the people are excited to see, even if I'm taking out their trash for 5 seconds. So I'm in the recruiting office, and a guy sparks up a conversation with me. He's like, "What's your name, man? I've never seen you before." I'm like, "Yeah, it's my first day. My name's Logan." He's like, "You're pretty built dude. You ever played football before?" I was like, "Yeah, man. I grew up, I've been playing football since I could walk. So you ever thought about walking on?" And I just thought maybe like this was a conversation that he had with every worker, you know, maybe just to kick the dust up and kind of take off with new employees. And I was like, "Nah, man, this is not my caliber of football. Like I'm not good enough to play here."
Yeah.
And he's like, "I don't know about that, man. You know, just think about it." And so I take the trash out and I walk out and I'm like with this kid that I just met, he's working too. And I'm like, "Did they ask you that? Like when you started here, like, is it like, what's going on here, man?" And he's like, "No, they never asked me that." I was like, "All right." So, I let some time go and I kind of thought about it and I was like, "Yeah, you know what? No way." So some time went by. I was in there again and he's like, "Did you think about it anymore?" Like, "No, man, I had not really, to be honest." And he's like, "Well, you know what? We have tryouts next Wednesday." This was in January.
Yep.
Of 18. And he's like, "We got tryouts next Wednesday, man. Fill out this paper and show up." And I was like, "All right, man, I'll fill out the paper." And I actually forgot. I left the paper on my desk, not doing my due diligence, and and I forgot. And the paper was due that day before, it was due a week before the tryout.
Okay.
And I, like I said, I forgot to turn it in. So I go in the next day to work and I'm like, hey man, like I completely forgot to fill out the paper. And he's like, you know what, for you, man, we don't normally accept people late, but he's like, we'll let you fill it out late.
Wow.
And I was like, wow, my parents, my mom, man, she was pissed when I told her. I was like, yeah, I forgot to fill out the paperwork. She's like, we've been telling you to do this, blah, blah, blah. So she was hot. And I was like, well, everything worked out. So fast forward a week, this is where it gets kind of fun. So, I'm at work. It's the Wednesday of tryouts.
Yep.
I take my high school football cleats to the janitor's closet with me. So here I am working my shift. I think I got like a 6-hour shift. So midway through my shift, I probably shouldn't say this because employers are going to be like, this guy's kind of shady. But,
come on, let her rip. Come on. There's nothing wrong with taking a chance on yourself and letting her rip, dog. Let me hear it. Come on.
So I, middle of my shift, man, I put my cleats on and I head out to the turf and I meet about 60 other dudes out there and I can lace them up and go through warmups, man. And I tried out and I ran a 40 for the first time in 2 years. I was working out still at the time, but you know, just being a meathead college student, I was doing bench and curls and
nothing
to get you in football shape. So I went out there, man, and I won it. And I remember calling my mom after, and I just went back to work after that. I took my cleats off and went back to work. And
I love it.
Finished my shift out, and I called my mom, and she's like, how'd it go? And I was like, you know what? It's one of those things. I was like, I have no idea. I don't know how it went. So they told us at the end of the trial, they said, you know, we'll be in touch with you guys. In a few days, whether you make it or not, and we'll go from there. So that was kind of my tryout process. That's kind of like the story of how it all got started. So to fast forward even from that, so it's 2 days later.
Okay.
I'm sitting in a college lit, children's lit English class with actually one of my best friends from high school, my roommate as well. We're sitting next to each other. This email comes through from the recruiting office, and it has a list of 8 names on it. And it says, you guys have moved to eight out of about 60, actually made it through the first cut.
Wow.
And, it said, we're going to bring you guys in for a physical at 5 a.m. On Monday. This is Friday.
Yep.
And I'm like, holy shit, man. Like, this is real. Like, I guess like, here we go. I mean, I'm in it now. I'm in it.
Yeah.
So from there, like I said, I did the physical. I went through the whole process. And from there on out, it was, I mean, you were with me from there on out. It's, we obviously got to know each other, but from there on out, it became a journey. It became a time of not knowing, of uncertainty. Even though that I made it through that first phase, that first month or two was kind of anxious, not knowing what the next step was or if you were even going to make the next cut.
For sure.
So, I mean, that's kind of where that process went and how it kind of went down. So.
That's so cool. And I'm going to interject for a second because you're one of the most humble people I know. And I want to give some context to this thing. So to everyone out there, Logan is quite literally the maintenance guy at the building. I'm working in the weight room at the time. So the night of the tryout, right, all the strength coaches are there doing their thing, kind of putting people through their stuff. And Logan is quite literally taking out the trash in the weight room at, let's just call it 5:58. And then I walk out to the indoor to where everyone's and he's out there with his cleats on now. I'm like, what the hell? This guy's got to be kidding. Like I thought it was a joke. I thought it was a prank. I'm like, what the hell is this guy doing? I remember I just said something to you very, you know, very like, you trying out? And you're like, yeah. I'm like, wow, like that's actually really freaking cool. This dude is quite literally taking out the trash, goes and puts his cleats on, and then he's going to bet on himself, come out here and take a chance and do his thing. Like, if that doesn't speak to like who you are, like that's so incredibly cool to me. And like, that's quite literally how it went down. And you know, again, you go through the whole process and you do your thing. And I think, again, to an outsider, they would have no reason as to why they would know this, but this tryout process was pretty quick. They ran a 40, did some different shuttle drills, whatever. And then he gets called back, does a physical and everything. And people probably think, oh, he made the team. Great. Like, well, no. Because now we're January, February, March. You got winter workouts going on. The whole team's in the weight room. They're running, doing their thing. But you guys are out in the indoor with Coach Nico, not in the weight room, not lifting, just using bands and bodyweight stuff just to even prepare you for a couple of months to have the opportunity to participate in spring ball. Because there was still some attrition, you know, January, February, March, before spring ball even started. Like, that group of people dwindled. And then you kind of have the opportunity to make the team. Then you go through all the summer workouts, and you still don't know if fall time you're going to be on the team. So, like, you put in all this work with the potential of not even making the team in the fall time. So, like, to me, like, that's so incredible. So, like, if you could take us through your thought process and just how strong mentally it would be to kind of withstand the trials and tribulations of that process. Like, what was that like for you? I know we had conversations here and there about that whole thing, but like, how mentally tasking, physically tasking was that whole thing? Because again, people hear, oh, you made the team as well. Like, well, no, he put in 9 months of work to even have the opportunity to do it. So like, what was that like for you in terms of going throughout that process?
Yeah, that's a good question. Before I hit on that, though, it's kind of to go off of a quick story.
Yeah.
You talking about me taking out the trash and be like, what the hell is this guy doing? Coach Touche, man, I pull up into the line to get my height and weight, and Coach Touche is like, what are you doing in here, man? And I was like, I'm going to try out. He's like, you trying out? He's like, aren't you the trash guy? And I was like, yeah, that's me. That's me, man. He's like, all right, man, whatever. What the hell? Go ahead. And I was just kind of like, all right, well, I guess this is how this is going to go.
All right, man.
But
I love it.
But yeah, no, it's you hit the nail on the head. It was a very mentally kind of draining process, more than physically. But I, like you said, working out on the you're kind of the process from the outside is a lot different than people would think. So like you said, I think there was 11 of us on the turf field. So correct. We're working out at 5 a.m. because Nico has to train the actual players at the time at 6.
Yep.
So here you are doing class, coming in, working out at 5 a.m. And I don't even know if I call it a workout, man. You're doing band trucks, band rows, band everything. Like, you don't touch a weight. It was very unique, to say the least. And you're doing it with, like I said, guys that you don't know if they're going to make it or not. So, Owen and I got pretty close. A guy that was in my group, so we kind of leaned on each other. It was one of those things that we would shoot each other texts and be like, "Hey man, like, what are you thinking? Like, what's going through your head? Like, you know, I'm here if you need me." Just because, like I said, it's one of those things that you don't know. Like, you're doing all this work to maybe not even get brought back a day later. You could walk in and they could be like, all right, well, we don't need you, or there's not a spot for you. So it was hard. It was hard just going through that. And like I said, uncertainty is the biggest key. And you just never really knew what to expect. And there was like kind of like a the team didn't really identify with the team for a long time. And I think that was the hardest part to stomach, was like,
yeah.
Am I ever going to like be with them? Are we ever going to be like one whole unit?
Yep.
And I mean, I remember going through mat drills, man, and there is 8 of us in different outfits than everyone else. And it's just like you stick out like a sore thumb, and it makes you an easy target. So when shit goes wrong, like, it's the walk-on guy's fault. Yep. But I can't speak enough on how much that process has done for me, like, personally, and how it's built my character. And I obviously wouldn't trade it for the world. It was a great, like I said, that 9 month period to make it to the fall, in which only 2 of us did, being me and Owen. So
right.
It went from 8 to 2 very quickly. And just speaking on that too, obviously, like, I got to give all the credit in the world to Nico.
Absolutely.
He told me down the road, at the closer we got, he's like, yeah, man, like, they wanted to get rid of you. He's like, I'm not gonna lie, but they didn't want to keep you around. And this was actually the tryout they weren't going to keep me at the tryout. And Nico said that he kind of pounded his fist at the table for me and kind of fought to keep me. So obviously I owe him for even making it as far as I did. But he said that he saw something in me that he thought could add value. And like I said, I owe him the world for kind of pounding his fist for a small kid that he didn't even know.
Right.
So obviously speaks volumes on his character too. But yeah, that kind of touches on the mental state that you kind of go through.
No, and that's powerful. And I think, you know, I've touched on this the past couple of weeks, not only in these conversations with my guests, but just in the stuff that I put out on Mondays and talking about challenges and how we have to seek that stuff out. Again, not every single moment of every single day, but the vast majority of the time, if something's not challenging you, then you're not really going to get better from that situation. You're just kind of existing. And again, I'm not saying you have to pound your head against the wall 24/7, but the most formative times in your life are when you're challenged like so, and you're getting put through the ringer, and you're kind of getting put on a chopping block, and you got to kind of see what you're made of. And again, I think that's a testament to you where, yes, I think your character grew and your work ethic grew from those situations. And this is just one man's opinion, but I think throughout that entire process and how you handled it shows not in the development of your character, but kind of just shows you who you were already. And that stuff just kind of amplified and put it in a better light. So I think that's a credit to your parents, and that's a credit to your upbringing, and just obviously you as well. But like, that's why I think challenges are presented to us, is to see if we pass or fail. Okay, this is who I am, and here's how I can make an adjustments or kind of fall back on my strength or whatever. So like, that's so powerful to me. And that's why I loved witnessing that journey with you, because it just amplified who you were even more so on a bigger stage and whatnot. So, you know, kind of just credit to you. I want to give you a shout out. You give Nico a shout. I want to give you a shout out, because that's on you, dude. And, you know, just kind of to be a small piece of the puzzle and be able to witness that every single day was, I don't know, dude, pretty damn cool. And I'm getting goosebumps thinking about it in the process of all that. And that's, I don't know, that's lights out. So kudos to you.
Yeah, and I owe you credit too, obviously. I don't know if I ever told you though, but I mean, we were, and I think before I even really, I mean, we obviously interacted a lot, but before we got pretty close. I mean, I remember it was my second day of spring ball, and the first day did not go very well.
Yeah, that was a rough one. Yeah.
That story is kind of we'll keep that one tucked away, but you know how it went. But it was rough for me, and in my first spring practice, and it was kind of like, I kind of had an identity crisis, and I was like, do I belong here? Am I going to fit in? And my first practice was actually so bad. I called home right after and was mentally just like drained, because I was on month four, I think month five of like I said, this uncertainty and not knowing. And I was, like I said, that Tuesday practice, that first practice of spring ball was brutal for me. And I called home and I was like, Mom, you know, I don't think I can do this. And Owen was kind of on the same page. He's like, hey, man, like, I think I might be out. So here I am, like a guy that I've kind of bounced stuff back and forth with. I mean, he's thinking about being out, and I'm thinking about being out. And so at this all at like one time, my worst practice of my life hits. And it all kind of hits me at once. And here I am eating Denny's chicken tenders the Thursday. And I'm thinking, I'm like, all right, well, this is it. And here he comes. John Jakubik sits down next to me, and we spark up a conversation. And you not knowing what's going on with me, but just being genuine guy that you are, we were kind of chopping it up. And I never knew you were a walk-on at Michigan State. I did not know that. And we kind of started talking about that, and talking about the culture at Michigan State, and comparing things. And you kind of told me your story and how it went, and bounced off of me, kind of like just knowing who you are, and kind of like knowing your kind of worth, and just kind of relying on your foundation. And that conversation was what kept me going, honestly. But if I wouldn't have found like a mentor and a friend in you that Thursday practice, then I was out. But that conversation to me was, it was powerful, and it kind of kept me going. And from then on out, I had you as an outlet, and I had, you to go to, and kind of, when times were tough, it was somebody that had been there and kind of had some experience with it. So, Without knowing you, you kind of kept my process going, and were a great mentor and outlet for me. So I can't thank you enough for thanks, that dude. Genuine conversation that you didn't even know was that powerful to me. So like I said, I appreciate you for that.
Thanks, dude. Yeah, no. I did not know that. And that kind of, I don't know, got me emotional a little bit. I think that's why we do what we do, right? That's why you coach. That's why you're there. That's why you try to be as genuine as possible and be vulnerable and have those conversations. And yeah, dude, that's the game. That's the game. So I'm obviously very fortunate that I was able to be that for you, because I certainly had that stuff going through that same process. And yeah, that's why you got to have conversations with people, right? Sit down every once in a while and just chop it up and see what's up and try to be there for somebody and maybe not be sympathetic, be empathetic. And damn, dude, yeah, I don't know. That kind of just threw me for a loop. So I appreciate sure. that, man. That's big time. That's a big time shout out. And yeah, you're very welcome for that. Yeah. Wow. Okay. You got me, man. You just got me. You just threw me off my game a little bit here. Well, no, that's fantastic. Okay. So 2018, we go through the whole thing, and I want to talk about this year a little bit, because I know obviously what you guys did this season was absolutely incredible. So we go through the 2018 year together, fantastic year, and now you're kind of moving into the next year with the coaching change, and you're still kind of on the fence, you know, do I want to be playing on, you know, whatever. So if you – I know it's going to be hard. I know it's going to be really hard, but just to kind of recap the whole 2019 experience, going from, you know, spring ball to summer workouts to winter workouts, obviously through the season, what were some of the highlights of the year for you, Logan? And also just kind of what did you learn about that process this year, maybe in comparison to the previous year playing ball for the Buckeyes?
Yeah. So as you know, obviously this year was, was a great year. I would say it's probably the most fun I've had playing football in my life. And wow. It's not even that, but to me, like I said earlier, kind of like, it's always been more than football to me. It's been about like the relationships and my teammates. And when I started this whole process, obviously, I didn't come into it thinking I was going to play. So it's not like I tried out, in order to play, I tried out to like add value somewhere.
Yeah.
And that's always been a big thing of mine is just find a way to add value somewhere. So for me, it was kind of like, it was a weird year with the coaching change and stuff. So
yeah.
It was kind of nice though, honestly. You come in with a fresh slate.
For sure.
And you have new coaches and you're learning new things, and it kind of made it go fast.
Gotcha.
You always have a lot going on. You're trying to figure things out. Everything's kind of different than it was the year before. But I think the biggest thing for me was it was interesting to see how, I don't want to say this, how coaches at this level can be different, but in the same, I guess. And that sounds kind of weird, but
okay.
Seeing these guys come from everywhere, these coaches and stuff, but this group was different. This group of coaches was very different, and different in a good way. They were very genuine people, and I think that that speaks volumes on why we have the success we did, because I think that it sounds corny at times, and you hear people say it, but I really think that this group like cared about their coaching staff, and I think that this group was playing not only for their teammates but for the coaches, because wow. like a mutual and genuine like love for each other.
Yeah.
And I don't think you see that very often. I don't think that's at this level anyway, something that you really see is
yeah.
A love that the coaches and players have for each other. And from Coach Halfley that came in at the DC, and yeah. Coach Wash and Coach Day at the helm. I mean, I can't, like I said, even being a walk-on, I mean, you're kind of like, you're not in the spotlight and you're kind of just sitting back and taking it all in. But like, I even felt like they cared for me and wow. for my personal development. And I think that just speaks, like I said, speaks volumes on the program and their character. And I think that, like I said, that's why we had the success we did.
Yeah.
This locker room was probably the closest locker room I've ever been in. And that says a lot too. I mean, like I said, to be a walk-on, not to obviously keep beating a dead horse, but that those guys don't have to intermingle with you. I mean, I'm sure you know how it was.
Right.
Like, I mean, if they don't want to, I mean, you're kind of like, I mean, you can be an outcast. I mean, as bad as it sounds, but
for sure.
Like that did not happen in our locker room. And some of the most like genuine and good people that I've ever been around, and not only good football players and good football coaches, but just guys that like wanted the best for you. And some of the players on our team, I mean, you got to be around them, Jordan Fuller, Justin Hilliard, those guys, obviously were big roles in my career. And I think for me, my football career wasn't about playing. Like I said, it was about building relationships with those people. And I'm so grateful and thankful to have done that and have hopefully everlasting relationships with those guys. And
yeah,
it was fun though. Like I said, it was a good year to kind of recap it. Didn't end how we wanted it to. We kind of hit on that, me and you, a little bit earlier, obviously. All good down in my heart forever, saying that we're undoubtedly the best team in the country in 2019. But unfortunately, sometimes the stars don't align and the chips don't fall your way. But like I said, I'm a firm believer everything happens for a reason. So it was fun. A lot of great memories. Playing in the Miami game was a good memory.
I'm sure you
can imagine all of us. Meathead walk-ons on the same kickoff team.
Running down, baby.
It's pouring down rain, and there's 200 people in the stands, and you're up 71 points, and we're just having a ball with it, man. And the group of guys that was out on the field are guys that will probably be close forever. And that was a great memory. And my second best memory this year is probably actually this past week in Arizona. The non-travel workouts that you have by the teams are in meetings during the hotel. We're knocking one of those out. My meathead ass gets on the bench after the workout after we just blown it out. Isaac tries, and everyone gathers around me, and I knock out 50 reps of 135 like the meathead I am. And everyone's going nuts. And so that was a fun time.
I saw the picture. I saw the picture. Shirts off, all greased up. Hell yeah.
That's incredible.
That's perfect. That's perfect. And I think just to kind of recap that a little bit, it takes a very special person at the helm of an organization like Ohio State, as big of an entity and program and culture and responsibility that is, to still find the ability to make it genuine and make it personal, make it about the people. And I was blessed enough to be in an environment like that at Michigan State. But again, in terms of the complexity and the grand scheme of things, like Ohio State's still a bigger university, bigger brand, whatever. And for Coach Day and the coaches to allow for that type of culture to articulate is absolutely incredible. And if you have people like yourself and the players and everybody involved who are saying the same exact things, that means it's in a genuine way. And again, I'm getting goosebumps thinking about being a part of a team and a family like that. And I know you feel the same way. And that's absolutely incredible. That's absolutely incredible. So so you're done. Ball's over now, huh? So I know you kind of touched on it a little bit and what you want to kind of do moving forward, but what do you think is next for you? What's next for Logan Hiddle outside of ball? Because huge things are ahead, but what do you kind of envision for yourself? I know it's only a few days after the fact, but what do you kind of envision for yourself moving forward?
Yeah, so I'm kind of – my lease isn't up till August here in Columbus, so I'm kind of going to use that time, I think, to kind of reflect a little bit and kind of kind of do some personal development and apply for some jobs and stuff. I applied for a GA spot at Missouri. A graduate assistant spot in student athlete development. So I went through two rounds of interviews with them. I should be hearing back soon.
Gotcha.
If I'm going to move forward with that process. I applied for another student athlete development role at the University of Florida.
Yep.
Just last week. So they were on break, I know. So that process is moving kind of slower. And then there's some full-time intern opportunities here at Ohio State. So this next few months are kind of be weighing my options, obviously applying to a bunch of different things. I think I want to travel now if I have to. Ultimately, I want to end up at Ohio State. Obviously, I would love to stay here, playing here and being from here. And ideally, I want to work in player development. I want to do what Stamp does at Ohio State. And for me, like that wouldn't be a job for me. That's something that I have a genuine passion for, and something that I didn't even know existed until I started playing football. So, in a nutshell, like I said earlier, there's a reason for everything. And part of me believes that my reason for playing football was to discover what I wanted to do with my life. And I think that being a relationship-driven person, like I strive to kind of help people. And I think that player development role would give me the opportunity to kind of bring out things in players that they don't really know that's in themselves, because that's what people did for me, and kind of be that liaison and help them develop themselves professionally and get prepared for after football. So that's ideally what I'd want to do. Like I said, I don't know. It's not going to be a direct path to get there, obviously. So, but like I said, I mean, I started at the bottom kind of, and I never will forget my roots. So, any direction is up in my opinion. So, just staying optimistic and keeping a good perspective, and I think everything will fall in place.
Yeah, that's so cool. And that's actually really ironic that you just said that, where you said you played football to figure out what you want to do. And I just touched on that on Monday with the post that I had talking about hard work and passion, and about how you have to work really hard at something. Doesn't matter what it is, but you have to work really hard to figure out those passions in life and what you want to do. And maybe it's just one aspect of whatever you're working really hard at that you gravitate towards. And then you kind of run after that. And then maybe once you're in there, then you figure out something else. Like, that's the point of life and hard work and jobs, is to work really hard to figure out more about yourself and what you want to do. And if you can do so and put yourself in those situations, that's when stuff starts to pop. And not just work hard for the sake of working hard, but with a purpose in mind. And if you can do so, like you have done, those doors are going to open. You're going to have a lot of options in front of you. So, yeah, man, absolutely. That's absolutely incredible. And I guess if anybody's listening, University of Missouri, hire this guy. University of Florida, hire this guy. Ohio State, whoever, because this is somebody that you want on your team. And he's going to figure it out, whatever it is. And I don't have enough great things to say about you, dude. So, Logan, with that, I'm going to wrap it up. And if you ever need anything, you know where to find me, man, because I, again, think the world of you, and I appreciate your time and your influence on me. And I cannot wait to see what you got in store, dude. So with that, thanks for coming on. Appreciate you. Have a great 2020, and we'll keep it rocking, brother.
Absolutely, man. Like I said, I appreciate you having me on, and like I said, the influence and the impact that you've had on me, man. So it goes both ways, man. It's all love on this end.
No doubt. No doubt. Appreciate you, brother. And to everybody else out there, that is going to wrap up the first Friday discussion of 2020. And if that story doesn't juice you up a little bit, if that doesn't get you going, I'm not really sure what is. So I hope you can use Logan's example of putting yourself out there and go get things to try and to bet on yourself and see what happens, because you're always going to be okay. You're going to pick yourself back up and you're going to keep it moving. It doesn't have to be the biggest life decision in the world, but it has to be something. You have to work hard at it and bet on yourself and give yourself a chance, because great things will stimulate because of those very things. So I will leave you guys with that. And I cannot wait to be back on here with you guys on Monday to share some more stuff with you. And as you go into the weekend, enjoy yourself, find some perspective, find a challenge or two, and we'll keep this thing moving, maybe into 2020. So God bless you all. Appreciate you all. And we'll see you Monday. God bless. Coach Coop.